Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Stella Blue Coffee is more than just great coffee. It's coffee with a purpose. Introducing We Brew to Rescue, a nationwide campaign using proceeds from our new ready-to-drink cans to help fund 1,000 pet adoptions this year. Every can you crack open helps a real pet find a real home. Simple as that. Made with 100% Colombian coffee, each 11-ounce can delivers smooth, drinkable energy with a boost of protein. Available in espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. Built for mornings, long days, and everything in between. Drink Stella Blue, fuel your day, and help save a pet's life. You can follow our progress in real time throughout the campaign by watching the adoption tracker on our site. Grab yours now at StellaBlueCoffee.com. Amazon and select retailers nationwide.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age!
You want to come and join with you?
I'm going to make you famous, Lizzie.
It's not Al anymore. It's Dunk!
Dunkachino?
Don't mind if I do!
Oh, the Joker, baby!
Welcome to Lights, Camera, Barstool, episode of The Long Take. Don't know what episode we're on. Today, it's me in New York and the Gooch Man in the Arizona house. We just had like a 20-minute escapade trying to find Wi-Fi. So if stuff comes in a little dodgy, that's the reason why. So Gooch, I'll give you the two-second delay now to get in your whatever take you want off the top.
Kinjack, don't say anything for 1 second if you're gay.
Oh, got your ass. There's nothing I could have done. So if you hear any technical issues on our end, that's what you're experiencing right now is 500 people in the house in Arizona on a singular Wi-Fi because this is one of the highest tech companies in the world. The first item we have is the trailer for Air, the Nike movie. Ben Affleck starring and directing alongside Matt Damon, Chris Tucker, Jason Bateman, Marlon Wayans, Viola Davis. Great crew. Trailer was kind of interesting. I don't know. Like, I feel like as much as anyone else, I have like a baseline level knowledge of Nike and like how Michael Jordan, like sort of like they built their real success off the back of Michael Jordan. But I think getting to see that in like learn more while also experiencing a great movie, I'm all aboard that. And also like Ben Affleck's directing record is stellar. He has like three hits, one not so great movie and Live by Night or whatever that was called. But I mean the Town, Gone Baby Gone, Argo, great movies. So I'm excited for this.
I think my Wi-Fi dropped. Wait, can you hear me?
Yes, delayed, but yes.
Oh, this is tough. Hold on. Let me see if I can piggyback off of my phone. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah.
That's actually a little better.
All right, let's try that. You go straight into your thoughts on the Air trailer.
My thoughts on this movie, I think it's going to be great. The best sports movies, I think, at least in my opinion, are the movies that don't actually focus on like showing the actual sport because it just doesn't look right. And even if it does look right, all you can think about is like what it actually should look like, which is Michael Jordan playing basketball, which you're not going to be able to recreate with an actor. Like you just can't do it. So like the business behind it is just way more interesting. Like Moneyball, in my opinion, is the best sports movie past two decades. And you see like a little baseball, but not really. So I'm excited for this. Who's direct? Is it Ben Affleck's directing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And for as much as people like to shit on Ben Affleck, he is, I think, a pretty damn good director.
He's got three really good ones under his belt: Argo, Gone Baby Gone, and The Town. One pretty big miss in Live by Night, but I mean, it's forgivable.
Yeah. Every director has misses. Like, so whatever. The cast is great.
Exactly. Exactly. After that, Disney, they lost a couple million subscribers in Q1, and they decided they're going to lay off 7,000 people. And then they accompanied all of that with saying, oh, by the way, don't focus on this really bad stuff. We're also making Frozen 3, Zootopia 2, Toy Story 5, and Inside Out 2. So don't worry, everything's fine. Ignore the flames in the background.
It's like the most soulless like news drop ever. Like it's like corporate dystopian, like, all right, we're firing like nearly 10,000 people. 10,000 people. And then we're making like the third movie in a franchise that I don't think many people are. Do many people want Frozen 3? Frozen 3?
That's a great question.
Frozen 2 was like, that was a I didn't like Frozen 2 at all. I thought that was just soulless. Like, so I can't imagine what 3 is going to look like. I guess Toy Story, keep the franchise going. I think they'll make a million of those. They'll just make those forever and ever. But, dude.
They make money.
And then just losing those subscribers, that's tough, because that's – I feel like that's always been Disney's, like, biggest concern is, like, if they don't have The Mandalorian dropping and they don't have, like, Obi-Wan running, like, or a big Marvel show, which they didn't have anything big for the last few months, except for Andor, which the viewership problems were always pretty obvious. Like, why are people going to subscribe to the platform? I don't know. So I guess that's why they keep making all these shit Marvel shows, try to get subscribers to stay on, but I don't know.
Yeah. They just have nothing to offer, I think. The non-parenting group of Disney subscribers. It's like, yeah, I want to be able to watch Star Wars whenever I want, or be able to watch like a Marvel movie whenever I want to. But like that only goes so far. And when you're not giving me something interesting, like a fucking Andor or Mandalorian or something, like why am I here? The only reason I really think I even at this point have Disney Plus is because number one, we need to review stuff. But like, if we weren't doing this, I would like want it. I think, for what? Like, I don't know. I don't know what the answer would be to that.
I haven't opened up the app since the last episode of Andor. I really don't think I've opened it up. I went back and rewatched the Jailbreak episode of Andor, and that's been it. Like, there's nothing really bringing me back to that app, which shows. But I don't know. There's just so many streaming services now. I think all the streaming services are going to just continue to like just cycle through subscribers from people just dropping and like picking something up. Like, I bet Peacock was up like, I think 300% year over year, but that's because they just dropped like a big original and they got The Office, but they'll probably lose 50, like they're going to lose half those subscribers in like 3 months. So this just feels very unsustainable. I don't know how this streaming stuff is going to continue when Disney's like losing like this.
I think the only sustainable model is really, as of right now, HBO Max, is where it's like, hey, we're giving you the best catalog of movies and TVs, which is great, but not like always the strongest incentive to stay a subscriber. But we're also giving you like a million incredible originals, all of them.
Yeah.
Premier television that are water cooler talk shows, and like everyone wants to talk about them. Social, in person, it doesn't matter. Everyone wants to talk about that shit. No one, Netflix, like, sure, you got Stranger Things, you dump out a shitty fourth season of You or whatever, and like you make Wednesday, but like you don't have anything premiere level. And then for Disney Plus, it's like you have all the IPs in the world, but you can't seem to make anything really worth this shit that you can promote well. Like, Andor is the best thing that they've made on Disney Plus, but like they didn't, in my opinion, do a great job of like showing what is good about it. And I don't even know, like Peacock.
Like, hey, there's just so many.
That's it.
There's just so many services. Like, it's just, it makes you miss cable, which is like, it's fucked up, but I miss cable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I miss just being able to, like, just have it all in one package. Like, even though it was $70, like, what is it now? Like, if you want to, like, have everything, you got to pay close to $150.
That's what I like about the Disney bundle, because at least it's, like, Hulu, ESPN, which ESPN Plus I never need. But, like, the bundle of all three of those I think is nice. But, like, if they would have something like that, if they would never team forces on shit like that with, like, Netflix, HBO, or whatever. But, I mean, I'd probably do that.
Which of those movies are you excited about though? Like, are you excited about another Toy Story?
None of these. Like, Toy Story 4, inoffensive, completely unnecessary. It was just like it did nothing other than lessen the impact of an incredible ending to Toy Story 3.
3 was perfect ending. Perfect ending. Like, doesn't get much better, like, honestly. It's like Return of the King level. Like, it's a very well-made movie, and they just had to run it back with a fucking spork.
Yeah. And, like, no Zootopia offense. Too. Like, I like Zootopia and Inside Out both a lot, but, like, I don't know if I'm dying for a second one of those. Frozen 3, definitely not.
They're banking on the furry community.
Because that last one was just ass. I know, at this point. they go nuts. That's one of the nastiest fan art you're ever seen in your life.
What's her name? Judy Hopps?
It's a good search for fun.
Oh, no, it's not.
Judy Hopps, not. And I forget Bateman's character. He was like a fox.
Oh, yeah. Like, he was kind of hot, though.
He was. He's a sexy. Foxes are like, there's something about it, man. I get where the furries are coming from. It's from inside their suits. The next thing was Andy Samberg and Gene Smart. I've been casting a movie called 42.6. It's a rom-com directed by Craig Gillespie, who it's a young man who's cryogenically frozen, wakes up 42.6 years later and decides to find his now much older ex-girlfriend. There's three components of this movie that I really like. Andy Samberg, Gene Smart, Craig Gillespie. That's two actors I really, really like. I still think like Gene Smart's still at the top of her game right now. It's crazy. Andy Samberg, his most recent rom-com, like in Palm Springs, awesome. And Craig Gillespie is like one of my favorite, I would say, outside of like the serious directors, I would say like he's like one of my favorites, like in the below S tier, if that makes sense. Like in the A tier of movies or movie directors, like he's right there for me, like near the top. So I don't know. The concept's like dumpier. There's an episode of Futurama that literally does this where Fry, like he finds out that his ex-girlfriend was also cryogenically frozen and then she gets stolen by Pauly Shore. This episode is from like probably 1999, but like it's kind of like that, but it's I don't know, the concept's weird. I just love all the components around it though.
I mean I love rom-coms, like I'm just an absolute sucker for them, so I love this. And Craig Gillespie is sneaky, like I don't think people know his name, but he's very good. Like I Tonya should have been nominated for more shit.
Amazing.
Like that might be Margot Robbie's best role. And then Cruella.
Even Cruella. Like,
I think Cruella might be, well, I love Beauty and the Beast, but that has more to do with the soundtrack. But it might be the best out of the live action Disney stuff that they brought. Like, and it's a movie that really like.
Beauty and the Beast was so good that it made Emma Watson look like a good actor. That's how good that movie was.
Dude, she's bad. She's bad.
But she's not good. That's something we need to come to accept. Like, out of all the Harry Potter grouping, she's the weakest actress, or the weakest actor out of the three kids by far. Like, think about the movies she's been in and what she's done. None of it's good.
Dude, I love Little Women. And I told you guys I rewatched it over Christmas break because I think it's a Christmas movie.
She stinks in it.
Dude, she sticks out so bad because everybody else is so good in that movie. Like, everyone is so good in that movie. And she sticks out like such a sore thumb talking about being poor and like wanting to be a rich girl. Like, it's bad. It's so bad.
Yeah.
But this movie, I am excited for it. I love rom-coms. I think the concept's hilarious. Gene Smart, I think she just gets better. Like, she just continues to be funnier and a better actress. Like, I watched Hacks over break, tore through that in 2 days. She's so, good. She's so sharp, like, just quick with it. Like, and she can hit the dramatic notes, too. Hacks has a little bit of that. Watchmen, her appearance in The Watchmen as the comedian, she was great there. This should be fun. I want more rom-coms. I don't know why Hollywood decided to quit making them, because they feel bankable. Like, it feels like that's something people will still go to the movies to see, a good rom-com with a strong cast. I think Ticket to Paradise did kind of well last year. Granted, it was very much targeted at an older audience. I think rom-coms can still make the bank. Make more of them. I watched Notting Hill this week. Notting Hill.
I think it's one of those things where, like, the horror movies do better in theaters. Rom-coms, I feel like, have earned a bigger space in streaming. You know what I mean? Like, horror, I feel like horror doesn't bank as well in streaming as they do in theaters, and opposite for rom-com.
Rom-com's like such a perfect date night, though. Like, guy and a girl, like, that's two tickets right there every single time. Two tickets. Guy and a girl go see the movie together. Always works. I don't know. We don't get many good rom-coms either. Like, there's not a lot of good ones. Like, even the ones that are hitting streaming are just kind of bad.
Yeah, I think it's hard too, because, like, if you look at horror movies over the last, like, I would say, like, 5 years especially, maybe even a little bit more, like, it's become more of like a prestige-y genre where it's easier to get a star, where it's like, hey, look, this could be the next Get Out. This could be an A24 horror movie. This could be something like this that'll get legit critical acclaim. And you're never going to have that with rom-com. Like, you're not going to be like, hey, let's go make, like, I don't know, like, well, what's the Ashton Kutcher, Renee Zellweger one, which, like, Renee Zellweger,
or no, your place, no, or no, mine.
Reese Witherspoon. That would have been really weird. Yeah. Although Ashton Kutcher used to like the older ladies. Didn't he date or marry Demi Moore? Right?
Yeah, he married. She wasn't even that much older, though. She was like, I think only like, how much older? Actually, she might have been way older.
She was a decent amount older when they married, because she was married to Bruce Willis at one point, right?
Let's see.
Demi Moore, 15 years, 60.
15 years, he was 25, and she was 40.
Yeah, I mean, that's, he liked the older ladies, to say the least.
Who doesn't?
But that's the thing, I think, just like, it's harder to bank or get good actors into those things, because, like, you can get a Noah Centineo into a rom-com or whatever, but, like, that doesn't move the needle as much as, like, hey, we got, you know, Beau's Afraid with Joaquin Phoenix from Ari Aster. Like, that doesn't, I think it's hard to get the crews together for that.
Yeah. I don't know. So. More rom-coms, Hollywood. Come on. Set it up too.
I agree with you.
If we're going to do sequels, let's get Set It Up too. Let's get Zoe Deutsch and Glenn Powell back in a rom-com together.
Dude, they had great chemistry.
They were so good together.
Okay. Last thing. Ben Stiller is going to star in a movie adaptation of Three Identical Strangers, which is one of my favorite documentaries. Such a good documentary.
So good. They're from, was one of them from Jersey too, right? One of them like lived
in.
I think
they were spread out around like that area.
Like Long Island or something. Yeah. If you're listening and you haven't watched that documentary, watch it. It's great. It's funny. Like, the three brothers are hilarious, and, like, it's a really cool, like, very fucked up story, but very cool.
Super, super fucked up, very heartbreaking, awesome watch. It's one of my favorites of the last few years, for sure.
It's weird that he's doing this, though, because I kind of thought he was done with acting. It felt like, what was his last role?
I think he wants to get... maybe more, because this is going to be more of a dramatic role than a funny role. Maybe he wants to do something like that. Oh, another great rom-com starring Ben Stiller. Not one you might think of, but Duplex with Drew Barrymore. That was a great rom-com.
I thought you were going to say Along Came Polly.
No, another great one, though. But like it's one where you wouldn't think of it with him.
I love Along Came Polly. I'm sorry if I'm distracted. Rudy is right outside my window, and he's shirtless, and... looks
great.
He looks so hot.
Can't blame you. It is kind of weird. I think Ben Stiller's been like directing, producing, right? He directed something recently.
Severance.
The show.
Severance. Well, he did Severance.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude, which is fucking awesome. He's been producing a lot of stuff too. Which some good, some bad, but I feel like that's where he's at in his career. I didn't think he would come back. Let's see what his last role was. He came back for, I mean, he did a cameo in Hubie Halloween.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, the last thing he did was the Meyerowitz stories. like real, the last real
that
role
was great
he
though
had,
too. That was serious.
Yeah. And that was 6 years ago. So this is surprising. He's also,
I think if Meyerowitz Stories wasn't like a Dustin Hoffman joint at the wrong time, people would look back on that movie with way more praise.
Yeah. It just kind of went underneath the radar big time.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, also, is he a little old for this? Because they were, in the documentary, they were kind of younger, right? They were all, like, a majority of the time spent in the documentary, I felt like was focused on, like, their late 20s, early 30s.
I think they met, in, like, the late 30s, maybe? I want to say. Let's see, they reunited. Yeah, so I wish... For people who don't know this, by the way, I should probably just clarify. Like, the whole documentary is about these triplets that got separated at birth intentionally by, like, what was it, an orphanage and group that wanted to study them or something like that. Really fucked up. And then they met each other later in life, all three of them, just because they weren't that far away from each other, like, geographically. They were, I think, like, a couple states apart, each of them. And they ended up being like, ooh, you just looked – somebody was like, you look just like this guy, and then so on.
Yeah, just insane. Could you imagine –
Mm-hmm. Oh, just another college.
People often say me and Dave Franco look like we were separated at birth. I don't know.
Yeah, and Tommy Smokes.
Yeah.
All three of you. all right, but that's all the news. Now we're going to get into our draft. We're doing a Super Bowl themed one today. We each get quarterback, two wide receivers, two running backs, a tight end, an offensive line, and a defense, except all of them are going to be movie characters, and we're going to try and build the best Super Bowl team. That was a great acid reflux hiccup. I just had in the middle of that sentence. We'll start. Gooch, you can go first, and then I'll go.
All right. I'm going to start like any good draft. You got to start with the quarterback. That's where you build from. You got to start like any good draft. You got to start with the quarterback, even if it's an overdraft. My QB1, he's a leader of men. He's a leader of primates. I'm going with Caesar from the recent trilogy, the Planet of the Apes trilogy. I mean, this guy, he can audible at the line. He's got his hand signals. He can actually fucking speak. He can tote the rock. I mean, imagine how far. Dude, he can throw those spears. Imagine how far he can throw a football. I love Caesar as a leader. I mean, I think this is a clear number one pick. I think he would have been on every single team's board. So, yeah. No!
I will say, as a devil's advocate here, I think he's like all of 4'5", which definitely makes it tough at that position.
He's going to get a lot of Drew Brees comparisons for sure. Because that's what they do. Every time a short quarterback comes out in the draft, it's every single time. Even if he plays nothing like Drew Brees, they're always just like, oh, yeah, he's like Drew Brees. It's like, this guy plays nothing like Drew Brees.
The average chimpanzee height is 2.6 feet tall. They have a standing height of 4'11", but they at their regular pose, they're...
It's all about the hand size. Let me get the hand size.
The hand size is definitely crazy. Their weight is they max out at 150 pounds.
Okay.
Wow, chimp hand length.
Oh, they got massive. Wait, no, they don't. They got tiny hands. Wait,
they got big.
No, they
fingers.
Got big hands. They got big hands.
They have long ass fingers. No.
Yeah, this is perfect then. Yeah, you'll be able to chuck that thing.
Yeah, just again being 2.5 feet tall is because they can't like run around the standing position.
This is like when Tyler drafted Jiminy Cricket as his point guard.
Yeah, All right, I'll follow you. And maybe we should just draft straight down the line. I think that's not even a terrible idea. But what do you think? Should we just go straight down, or should we just go pick for pick?
Yeah, that's fine. I doubt we have crossover.
let's not even call it really a draft. We'll just say it like a team building. So I'll start with my QB as well. And I'll go with like, it's very similar as far as like, you want a leader of men and somebody who can get the job done. This guy's a little bit different in size than Caesar. Luke Hobbs from the Fast and Furious franchise, 6'4", like 260 pounds. He once lifted a torpedo mid flight, I guess you would say, and turned it around. This guy's got arm strength out the wazoo. You can't take him down at all unless you're Dom Toretto. So I feel like he's a great pick to lead your team on offense.
Dude, he also held that, what was it, the helicopter in Hobbs and Shaw when they're like, they like hook all the cars together and then he's on the back of the final car and he's like just holding it like, oh, so yeah. Stupid. And he's
didn't tear a bicep or anything.
What country? He's from Samoa. Great, great island of American football Samoa, players. Yeah. Yes. I mean, those guys love football. I like that pick. I do like it. But I mean,
yeah, I think he's strong.
Could he get into some legal trouble? That's where you guys have to be concerned. Oh, that's true. But he does some sketchy shit.
He is the law. He's the definition of he's the world's greatest manhunter for whatever. I forget what he even works for, like DEA or something. Or he works for he's the number one lawman.
This makes me want to.
That would be a great nickname, too, for a quarterback.
I'm going to take Tyrese as my defense.
That ugly ass forehead. What does he say in that line? That was like a legitimate jab against Tyrese. I think it was something like that. Dude, I forget.
Them they hate each other so much.
I know.
I love it when actors actually hate each other.
I know. It makes it so much funner.
All right. Do I go running back one now?
Sure.
All right. Running back one. This guy, he's fast and he can run for days. He won't get tired in the fourth quarter. In fact, I think when the fourth quarter rolls around, he'll be running even faster. And that's Ethan Hunt. Because the time crunch comes on, nobody can run like him. He's got straightaway speed, granted. I don't see him move laterally well. I've never seen him make a turn while he's running. But if you get him just running straight, like a Chris Johnson type.
Straight line maybe speed.
Just throw it out to the flats, let him catch it, and just go up the sideline. I like it. Also very small. So that's I think my average height now, Caesar was 4'11". My average height on my team is like 4'6" now.
See, I had him as a wide receiver. Because I was like, he'd be a great slot guy. He'd be Tyreek, basically. Like, I'd throw him straight in there. And I don't know.
What's Wes Welker? So,
basically, yeah.
Danny Amendola. That's a great
pick. But also Julian screws Edelman. My fucking wide receiver pick.
Fuck, I didn't think we'd have any crossover.
I mean, that's two of the fastest guys. So I feel like it'd be both of them had to be on our lists. All right, I'll start with my running back, and I'm calling him a running back fullback combo. Arnold Schwarzenegger as Dutch and Predator. And, you know, we play the Browns. At least we have someone that can deal with Predators. That's something we can always use in any future matchups. Schwarzenegger as Dutch is one of the strongest. He's not on this one, so we can shit talk as much as we want. But his pure strength, when he does that handshake with Carl Weathers and like their biceps pop out. That is one of the strongest anyone's ever looked on screen. And I think that he would be who is that? Toby Gerhardt. He'd be my Toby Gerhardt that one year that he was actually kind of good from the Jaguars and have him just plowing through people, every line getting destroyed. He's also, much like Luke Hobbs, a hunter of sorts, although he does hostage rescue, not hunting down criminals. But he's just, I think he's an all-time amazing physique. And somebody you do not want to get in front of. He's like, it'd be like running into Derrick Henry. You don't want to touch that dude.
I wonder if like Arnold Schwarzenegger could have actually played football. Like,
I don't know. Cause like your stamina as a bodybuilder, I don't know what it's like. You know what I mean? Like just how often could he do sprints over and over and over?
Dude, that's a great pick. He's so big. I love
massive
that.
Massive man.
And the Predator. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Plenty of those in the NFL. Plenty of those.
Exactly.
Especially in the team.
On the Browns. Cleveland.
Yeah. All right. Moving forward. My running back, too. Also fast. Very fast. She can, in fact, outrun one of the fastest land predators that's ever existed. She outran a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and that's Bryce Dallas Howard from Jurassic World. To outrun a Tyrannosaurus Rex, you have to be running at least 40 miles per hour. She did that in heels. So imagine if you put her in a pair of – you put her in some Nike Vapors. I can't imagine what she's going to do on turf. So, yeah, and she's got – I mean, great set of hips on her.
She's got the what do you call it, the pedigree too.
She could definitely bust through a hole. That's for sure. So yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard. Also, great running back name. Honestly, that's a good running back name. Like, if that was like a dude's name,
that's a middle name though. If it was hyphenated Dallas Howard, then yes. But I feel like the fact that's her middle name makes it harder. Like, you know what I mean?
Do you think Ron Howard thought he was having a boy and he's like, this guy's going to be such a sick athlete. I'm going to name him Bryce Dallas Howard and just Bryce
call
mommy
the law firm too.
Yeah. But yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard.
And Jarvis Green Ellis, what a great fucking name he had.
Dude, I loved him on the Bengals. he never fumbled. Yeah. I remember that. He just like literally, I think he fumbled once over like 700 snaps at one point. It was insane. There's 700 carries. So
he was Bengals then Patriots, right? I'm not reversing that. He ended with Patriots. I want to say.
Actually, I think he went Patriots Bengals.
Did he really?
Burkhead went Bengals and Patriots, and Corey Dillon went Bengals and Patriots.
Let's see. Oh, you're right. It was Patriots then Bengals. Yeah. Why do I only remember him as a Bengal though? I can only think of that. That's crazy. I would have bet a lot on him being a Bengal first, but he was only there for a year. That's crazy. Okay, but Ben Jarvis Green Ellis, instead you get Bryce Dallas Howard. It's not a terrible pick. Okay, so for running back, I will go with somebody who I'm actually going to be seeing later tonight. Adonis Creed, specifically from Creed 2.
Wait, you're seeing Creed 3 tonight?
Yeah.
What?
In IMAX.
Wait, does it release today? Or is this just a screening?
No, it's like a screening. Me and Robbie Fox are going to it.
That's sick. What the fuck?
If you're listening to this, you already see my social reaction, I would assume, unless the embargo is still up. But I'm taking Adonis Creed, and specifically in Creed 2, because in Creed 2, you look just – he was insanely jacked, just an insanely strong human being. He's got the stamina of a boxer, so you know he can just take basically infinite carries. I just feel like he's a guy also good with a really great pedigree coming from his dad, also a great boxer. Just one of those dudes, freak machine. He's got the speed. He's got the stamina. And I think he'd be a great 1-2 combo with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I mean, also just can outrun those little dirt bikes that everybody in Philly rides. I mean, he's fast. We talked about it on the bracket. He has the perfect physique. Like, there's not a person with a better body in the world. Like, he's not a bodybuilder, so he's not like overly bulked, but he's just fucking jacked and like lean. Like, good Lord. And he played football. Mm-hmm. And he was in fucking Friday Night Lights.
He was.
Yeah, so that's a good pick.
He's got everything you want. And also, can you imagine if our fictional, or at least my fictional team, was a Philly team? Like, they would rally behind this guy like nobody else. It would be incredible.
Yeah, you do get the you get to play Dreams and Nightmares in the locker room, which is like
exactly
what we're talking. Like, Las Vegas probably gives you like a point and a half if you get to play that in the locker room beforehand. Like,
yep. Oh yeah.
I remember in high school that came out, and we listened to it in the locker room. We had like three black guys on our team, so it's just a bunch of white guys listening to Meek Mill.
My senior year, I was like the president of our grade, but I really was like just so checked out that like I didn't want to be involved with any of that shit. So like the student council people were dealing with like what our senior slogan would be. What the fuck was the name of the song? Hold on, I need to double check. So, and okay, I was right on when I thought I was. They made our senior slogan, not two sneezes. It was, you know, you're at the top when only heaven's right above it.
By
right above Lil Wayne, because that came out like right in the before our senior year. So Everyone, our senior year, was wearing these shirts. It was like our colors, and on the back, just so you know, you're at the top, and only heaven's right above it. Our school is like 90% white people, and it just bumping this fucking Lil Wayne song. That was embarrassing, God. And I still regret that, and I wish we made something different. But tough scene.
Whatever. High school. Who gives a shit?
Mm-hmm.
Are we?
That was tough. Wide receivers.
All right, wide receiver one. This guy, this is my only pick of a player that actually played a sport in the movie they were in. But they had sure hands, or should I say a sure mouth. And the team rallied behind him. And that is Air Bud from Air Bud 2. One of the all-time receivers I've ever seen on screen. Also, just the funniest clips from any movie. I don't know if you've seen that, like just the breakdown of him playing football.
Oh,
it's so funny every single time, like him just catching the ball. People just tackling each other, like they couldn't catch him. So Air Bud, and he's just cute. He's just cute, which is a big, like, if you have a golden retriever by you, you feel better. You just do. You feel better. Put the team at ease. I like Bud. There's a point
golden
when I was writing down my
the dumbest dogs on earth.
They're very stupid. Very stupid.
That's why that's what's so lovable about them, though. And like, yeah, exactly. See, it's just like they're the most adorable dog on earth, just dumb as bricks. But that's where it kind of comes into play, where like you figure out what type of player you are if you can hit stick a golden retriever to stop him from catching a ball. You know what I mean? Like, that's
also a big concern with receivers is they talk too much. They're divas at points. I don't see that being a problem with a golden retriever. He's not going
to. I can just imagine your like gold Air Bud tweeting like the lion only sleeps with the tigers in the nighttime. Like every wide receiver tweets the most cryptic bullshit. You know what I mean?
Like he's sitting out the LeBron.
Weirdest and dumbest shit.
He's sending out the LeBron tweets. Yeah. Like the, I guess it's me. I guess it's just me. I guess I'm the problem. What did he say?
The warrior sings while the monk delights. Or they say like they tweet the dumbest shit.
They tweet out the Ethan Hunt, or it's not Ethan Hunt's thing, but the Storm Knox and the warrior answers, whatever.
Yeah,
it's so stupid. Air Bud.
No one will ask if he has the dog in him. He'll always be like, I think a guy no one wants to run up against. His route tree is probably crazy.
It is. It's probably insane. You don't know what he's going to do.
Yeah, literally. Nobody does. And your 2'4" fucking quarterback won't have that much trouble trying to find him down the field because he's the only one that's not a human.
Yeah, I guess my team is so short at this point. How tall is Bryce Dallas Howard?
Can't be 5 foot. It's 8, I would guess. Maybe 5'7".
5'7", wow. Good Lord. She could pick me up like Cherry DeVille.
Mm-hmm. She's big. She's got some strength to her.
She does.
Okay, so my wide receiver, I will go with my first one. I'm going to pick James Bond in Casino Royale specifically because of the intro scene where he does all that crazy parkour all over the place and just sprinting all over the place. It's like a trillion degrees. They're in Africa. Like, it's insane. He goes through all of this, like, he jumps through all these hoops, runs all these different routes on a tee. Like, he's running on beams in a construction site, straight line speed, making cuts all over the place. He's – Daniel Craig is probably, like, I would imagine, like, 5'10 max. But, like, he's a guy where I have him, like, next to my other player. I think he's going to make a really good compliment. I think he's going to be a dude that you don't want to go up against. He's crafty. He'll have all sorts of weird gadgets like sticky tack or whatever from M or – Q rather. He'll have a lot of cool shit going on. And I think he's a speedy guy. And he's also a womanizer, which makes him very cool, obviously.
Yeah, and he's he can take a hit as displayed in that movie.
That's all he does. Doesn't even need a cup.
God, that movie was such a function of its time, like that opening scene. Like, because parkour was just so hot in the streets, and they were like, all right, we're going to put some fucking parkour right off the bat in this movie. 20 minutes of it. Mm-hmm. I love that movie, but good Lord, there's so much parkour.
A lot in that opening scene. And then he's making all these cuts and everything. I'm very interested in the idea of wide receiver one, Daniel Craig as James Bond.
He's also younger there before he got banged up. Injury, you got to worry about his, he may not make it to a second contract. Injury concerns by the third movie. So people got so
mad
at me.
He's going to get thrown to almost exclusively over the middle. He's going to get banged up.
I did one of those movie brackets the other day, and I put Skyfall like all the way to the finals, and people got so fucking mad. And I was like, dude, when was the last time you watched Skyfall?
It's an amazing
movie. It's like, it's the gold standard, in my opinion, for James Bond. But yeah, no, that's a good pick. I like that, especially considering his, like, yeah, the parkour stuff. He really is, like, he's got great feet, great hands, all on display there. In fact, you know, did you see they're thinking about getting rid of the combine, or there's like former players pushing to get rid of it, which I hope they don't.
Why?
Because they said like there's, because it's like, I mean, it's, people know that like it, those like those physical attributes, like real draft scouts, like just don't really use them, like because it's not like a real
test. Yeah, but we like them.
Yeah, I love watching the combine. I think it's,
I like
awesome.
To brag about the guy we just drafted, like fucking ran a 4.2. Like, yeah.
You know what I love? I love those little circles, and they do like the and they have like the little like attributes going each way to show like their physical, like they'll have like the strength, speed, 4-cone, 3-cone, like all that shit. And you get to see, like, especially if it's like maxed out in every direction. I love those little charts.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I hope. But that's what they should replace the combine with. Just have them do like parkour course.
I'd be all in. Your second wide receiver.
My second wide receiver, another guy that can't talk, which I like out of my wide receivers. I don't want divas. This guy's very versatile. Team first guy. I mean, also fast as hell. I'm going with Bumblebee. Bumblebee from Transformers, the original Transformers.
The car.
Well, he can be a car if he needs to be. He's going to have a tough time catching if he's in the car mode, but maybe he runs the route as a car.
Okay, so he needs to be in. Yeah. Okay.
He can run. He can run the first route, part of the route tree, as a car, and then, I mean, he's not going to get pressed off the line. That's for sure. Unless you draft like Megatron as your defense.
Well, now I have to. I need to draft the entire Decepticon fucking force if I want to fight this.
So yeah. No. I think Bumblebee's a great guy. Great guy. He's my favorite Transformer.
I'll say I don't think that Cybertron is known as a home of football. Like, they don't produce a lot of good draft prospects. Like, mostly I would say they make like cars, warriors of the type. Don't typically associate them with football.
It's a basketball planet. It's a basketball planet.
Yeah, exactly. Way more of a basketball planet. They're not really into football. But, you know, every now and then you have someone that just comes out, shows you something.
It's the Kentucky of planets.
Exactly, yeah. That's, many people have said that, actually, that Cybertron is like Kentucky. That's a good pick, though. And now it changes what I have to do with my draft strategy as well. For my second wide receiver, I'll pick a guy, proven winner at everything he's ever done, led Alabama to a national title. Forrest Gump.
Fuck, I knew it. God damn it.
I considered him, he was going to be my backup running back choice, but when you took Ethan Hunt off the board, I was like, I need someone different. Now,
you're not going to have a big playbook.
Playbook's going to be super simple. It's going to be go routes and that. It. That's it. His Wonderlic score is going to be bottomed out. He's going to be. It's going to be a tough adjustment.
You know what,
I think.
You know what else? Else is going to be bottom out?
Jenny,
her and his mom.
Yeah. He potentially might have AIDS from Jenny, but at the same time, I feel like I'm drafting him post-Alabama. So we're getting like a young, fresh, no Vietnam, Forrest Gump. He's a two-sport athlete, can play ping pong, American war hero, although I guess not at the point I'm drafting him. He's just a guy, he can run real fast, faster than anyone else, and I think that's a guy you want on your team for go routes, and that's, I think, a good complement along with James Bond, who's more quick twitch muscle, over the middle, intermediate, and short routes. So I'm going to go with old Forrest Gump, national champion.
I ran this route against this guy named Jalen Ramsey, and they said I pulled a Randy Moss on him, but I know nothing about Moss. I thought they were talking about the plant.
fucking poor Forrest Gump. The sound bites that would come out of him would be like incredible. Jack Grealish-esque.
Oh my gosh. Forrest.
That tight end movie.
This one was easy. This might have been my first one. Julia Fox, Uncut Gems. Self-explanatory.
I think if you could draft her directly after Uncut Gems, yes, great pick. Drafting her now, I don't know.
No, but Uncut Gems, Julia Fox. Let me tell you. What a descent from grace this woman has had.
That's a good one. She's got like a diamond in the rough, for sure. I'm trying to think of what else she has experience in other than... Oh, yeah, you need to keep her away from sports gambling. She could end up like Calvin Ridley-ing herself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
She was involved in it.
But, you know, the tight ends always have big personalities. Like, the best ones do. Like, you get your Gronk has a huge personality. Travis Kelce, big personality. Shannon Sharp. My tight end
has zero personality. I can't wait for this.
What's the guy from the Falcons? I'm blinking on his name.
What, Tony Gonzalez? Like,
he didn't have a big one when he played, but he does now. I mean, he acted. I should have drafted Tony Gonzalez from which Fast and Furious was he in?
I don't remember him being in Fast and Furious. He was?
I'm pretty sure.
Gonzalez, Fast. Oh, it's coming up. Got an IMDb for it. Oh, he was in XXX, The Return of Xander Cage.
XXX, that's what he was in. Sorry.
Bad XXX, too.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. The second one was the bad one. Return of Xander Cage was when they brought back Vin Diesel. Okay. The Ice-T one is really bad. Yeah, but I think that's a solid pick for mine. I'm going with the tight end with arguably zero personality, but all of the physical tools you need to be a great tight end. He's tall. He's 8'11". He has, I think, a good understanding of football, good understanding of family, which like family is football, as they always tell us.
Yes.
He spent a couple years off world, but I think he could come back without a hitch, and that's Jake Sully. Jake Sully is my tight end. 8'11", can run like the wind, can jump. There is nobody on that you have that could even come close to stopping him in the red zone, in the middle, doesn't matter. Anywhere you throw it, you just got to throw it high, and Jake Sully is coming down with it. He doesn't even need to jump. He's already got it.
Fuck, dude, how did I not think of that? God damn it. Dude, he's the biggest team guy too. Like Sully stick together. That's just, oh my God. He's gonna be unstoppable.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They need to show like in the next Avatar, I hope it's 4 hours long, and I hope they show like some sort of Navi sport.
Well, they did what's her name played basketball in the first one, so like why not just have Sully teach the avatars how to use play football. I don't see why not.
Yeah, so they're sports aware. Exactly. Damn, I love that pick. And he might have played. He might have already played football. He might have already played football because I mean he was just a idiot jarhead human. Yeah,
yeah. I think it's a great pick. I think it was my favorite pick, and I was just praying that it didn't get taken.
By the way, have you seen that account of the girl becoming Na'vi? Have you ever seen that account?
No.
Oh my God. We got
to
stop.
Is it a person that's doing like plastic surgery to try and become Na'vi?
It's almost worse than that. It's this girl and she's just so fucking obsessed with Avatar and all of her pictures. Like you got to see this one. She like puts up.
I'm looking at it now. Yeah.
Dude, it is so funny. It's just, if you're listening, it's just called Becoming Na'vi on Instagram. I follow her. And she just posts the most unhinged, like, photoshops of, like, her as a Na'vi or her with her Na'vi. Like, doing, like, just random stuff. Like, her Na'vi will be wearing, like, joggers with her and, like, they're working out together. Like.
And I just see she recreated her wedding photo with her and her husband as Na'vi.
She did the one with her daughter.
Like, it's
it's so strange.
I have someone like this that's obsessed with the movie Titanic. He owns, I think, 500 copies of Titanic on VHS.
It's, she did one of James Cameron.
Oh, just fucking.
It's so cursed.
It's weird because, like, that. I think this is what James Cameron wanted, though. He wanted people to be into this to the degree that they are photoshopping their kid into a Na'vi.
Do you think I could pay her to do a picture of me?
I don't know if she's using like some AI art tool or physically like doing it on Photoshop, but that would be hard.
She says no. She says in her bio, sure, no AI.
So it's going to cost you a pretty penny then to make that.
I'm going to put in a, I think I'm going to put in a request just to see how much it would actually be.
I'll put in a request and I'm going to ask her if she can do a full life-size portrait.
She has the price up front.
Portnoy. I want to make Dave Portnoy as a life-size Na'vi, and then I'll give it to him as a gift.
All right, for a full-body avatar, it is $230 to $247.
Holy shit. Why the $7 difference? $240 to $247, you said, right?
$230 to
$247. Oh, okay. I was like, why $7? But still... It's a weird range to have. Yeah. Oh, but anyway, offensive line time.
Oh, line time. Let me grab my board. All right. My offensive line, this is perfect because it fits with my quarterback. I'm going with Caesar's Army. His buddy who's an orangutan.
So you can see over them.
His gorillas. Well, they can, I mean, he's got great vision. All right. He's got great vision.
You also get like the orangutans, I think, should be all the offensive line.
Well, he's got the gorillas too, the silverbacks from the first. Remember the first movie? They flip the bus and they push it. They push it across the bridge. True. Like, that's an offensive line. They're basically pushing the sled. So, I think that's an obvious pick for me. They work well together. It's always important for the QB and the offensive line to have a good working relationship. And it's clearly there. As long as we don't have that asshole chimp. What was his name? Rocket? No, Rocket was his son. The one with the scars. The asshole on his chimp. Face.
Well, something with the K. Something with the K, I forget.
Yeah, that guy was a dick.
Yeah, that one stunk.
They're filming like this. Though. They're filming like a New Amsterdam Vodka ad outside, and it's like supposed to be like Love Island. So they're all just like, it's like also 40 degrees out. And they're wearing basically no clothes. It's very funny to look at how uncomfortable they look.
Snips could cut diamonds right now.
Yeah, I won't say whose. Offensive line, we got monkeys. remember that? That's still one of the funniest tweets of all time.
Caesar.
Do you remember the fake Martin Scorsese quote? When it was like, when asked who would win between Godzilla and Kong? Martin Scorsese, Kong, because he monkey.
We got to start making more of those. Those are so much fun to make fake quotes. I like that pick a lot, especially if it's mostly silverbacks, because, like, number one, it's good for me because your quarterback can't see over them at all. So he's going to need to be – that guy's going to live outside the pocket. He's going to have no choice in the matter.
He can stand on Julia Fox's massive ass.
But then you lose your tight end, and you're running out of options to throw to. So it all works out for me. My offensive line, I'm picking The Rock's entire Polynesian family from Hobbs and Shaw. So Roman Reigns, all those other dudes, massive Polynesian dudes. Every one of those dudes line up. Doing the haka before games. Like, that is another thing. That's similar to me, like Dreams and Nightmares. Like, if a team does a haka before any game, any sport, I meet, like, Vegas adds points to them. Like, it's so fucking cool.
Do you remember, I want to say it was either the Olympics or it was the FIBA World Cup, the basketball one. And we played, USA played
New Zealand.
And the New Zealand basketball team did it right in front of us. And then we beat them by like 80.
80 points.
And like all the faces on the USA basketball team were like, what the fuck is happening right now? They're like mid-court, like doing like the full dance. But I do like that.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, if that was not FIBA and that was like some sort of world football competition, New Zealand would have, like, or you know, not New Zealand, but like American Samoa, Tonga would have smoked us. Would have been bad.
Did you get the, did you get his mom?
Absolutely. She's the center.
Yeah.
It's a matriarchal group. Now defense.
Defense. I'm going back to Jurassic World, but I'm going to Jurassic Park. I'm taking the Raptors, the Velociraptors from the first movie. They're speedy, rangy, cover sideline to sideline. They work together as a group. I love this trick. There's nothing in the rule book against stabbing an opponent with the talon. Nothing against that. Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like they're not going to come up with a lot of interceptions, I don't think. It's going to be tough for them to take the ball away without popping it. But outside of that, I like the Raptors. And we can literally just call ourselves. We have good name options on the table now. We can be the Raptors. We could be the apes, the monkeys. Yeah, a lot of good names.
I feel like the answer for my offense is simple, and it's to just have Luke Hobbs do like this before, like, or maybe we got to lower that a little bit. Or just do like the stop thing, just like a little bit like this, and then all the Raptors stop right there.
Yeah, you got to get Chris Pratt. If you had taken Chris Pratt as your quarterback, we would have had problems, but.
Yeah, that would have been real bad. Okay, for my defense, I initially wanted to get the 300 Spartans at Thermopylae, just a bunch of jacked-ass Greek dudes, great defenders. Like, they were not able to be beat until their playbook got stolen, essentially, by that, whatever that dude's name was. The messed up dude that gave him one of the Persians.
Yeah.
They could not be beat. But you have a transformer on your team, which makes it very difficult from a defensive standpoint for me. So luckily I got to draft second and get to see a little bit of like what your team's going to look like. I think I'm going to have to pick all the Decepticons.
Yeah. I would have done the same thing.
I think I'm going to have Megatron defensive tackle, Starscream as a corner. Like, who the fuck is going to touch Starscream?
Dude, that's a problem.
He just picks off the ball midair and just turns into a jet and flies to the other end zone.
No fly zone. He's literally no fly zone.
Yeah, literal no fly zone. I'm trying to think, what are some of the other ones? What was it, Turbo Zeus, the one who fucked the guard's wife in last night?
Something like that.
They had some.
Yeah.
But Starscream, by the way, the coolest Transformer, in my opinion.
Yeah, I used to have – that's like was my favorite – one of my favorite toys growing up was I had a Starscream Transformer. You transform – you know, you like took a while. Took a second to like put all the pieces, like fold them together and then open them back up. But, God, that was a cool toy. Turned into a
Starscream, Shockwave, Soundwave. Yeah. I think they changed the model up as they went along. Let's see. Astro Train, Tidal Wave. That's kind of cool. Overlord, that's awesome. Bludgeon, sound. Imagine that. Like, you have to go over the middle versus a linebacker called Bludgeon. That's a fucking transformer turning into a Kia Soul. Like, you're not touching that. Shockwave, Cyclonus.
Caesar the Eighth, found dead on the field. Ran over by a Toyota Prius.
By a Toyota Prius that turned into a Decepticon. Okay, so that's our teams. I didn't write them down for yours, or I only have like mine that I had picked already.
Yeah,
so
just send them to
one
me.
By one. What was your full team? What was your full team? I got
Caesar at quarterback, Ethan Hunt, running back one, Bryce Dallas Howard, running back two, Air Bud, wide receiver one, Bumblebee, wide receiver two, my O-line, Caesar's army of orangutans and gorillas. And then my defense are the Raptors.
All right, and I got Luke Hobbs at quarterback, Ethan Hunt and James Bond as wide receivers, Arnold Schwarzenegger and Adonis Creed as my running backs, Jake Sully at tight end, The Rock's Polynesian family from Hobbs and Shaw as my O-line, and then the Decepticons as my defense, or my entire defense. And
missing.
That's it. I think we have good teams. This is going to be an interesting poll.
Me missing on fucking Jake Sully is like, oh, my God. I'm trying to like find a, the right comparison for it. It's tough. It's like Patrick Mahomes falling to 13. It's gonna kill me. It's tough for my franchise to. I really hate that.
Come back from that. Yeah. All right, so that's our draft, and that's the episode. I got 7% battery left, so we're going to jet out of here. But we'll be back on Monday or Tuesday with a new episode. We'll think we'll have the full house back, everything like that.
Yeah, a lot of Super Bowl stuff.
You're watching this. Exactly.
We'll have a lot of Super Bowl stuff.
And go listen to the last episode of The Bracket, too.
Very funny. Very funny. All right.
Great episode of The Bracket with the Out and About Boys. But we'll see you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium. And everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Stella Blue Coffee's new can lattes are here. Crafted with 100% Colombian coffee, each can is a good source of protein and comes in two smooth flavors, espresso cafe mocha and espresso sweet cream. And whether you're braving your morning commute or chasing your pup, Stella Blue cans are for those always on the go and for those who care. Stella Blue is more than just great coffee. It's about giving back. I named the brand after my rescue dog, Stella, who inspired our mission to help more dogs find their forever homes. Every purchase supports animal rescue organizations. So when you drink Stella Blue, you're not just fueling your day, you're saving a dog's life. Try the new cans today. Taste the difference and make a difference. All new Stella Blue coffee can lattes now available at stellabluecoffee.com or subscribe on Amazon for 10% off. We'll be right back.